The assembly hall was in the former Steel Ministry Canton of Finance headquarters. It was a low-ceilinged space, more of a large lecture room than an assembly hall. There were rows of benches fanning out in front of a raised stage. On the right side of the stage, Elland had constructed a tier of seats for the assembly members. On the left of the stage, he had constructed a single lectern for speakers. The lectern faced the assemblymen, not the crowd. The common people were, however, encouraged to attend. Elland thought that everyone should be interested in the workings of their government. It pained him that the assembly's weekly meetings usually had a small audience. Vin's seat was on the stage, but at the back, directly opposite the audience. From her vantage with the other bodyguards, she would look past the lectern toward the crowd. Another row of Ham's guards, in regular clothing, sat in the first row of the audience, providing a first line of protection. Elland had balked at Vin's demand to have guards both in front of the stage and behind it. He thought that bodyguards sitting right behind the speakers would be distracting. Ham and Vin, however, had insisted. If Elland was going to stand up in front of a crowd every week, Vin wanted to be certain she could keep a close eye on him and on those watching him. Getting to her chair, therefore, required Vin to walk across the stage. Stares followed her. Some of the watching crowd were interested in the scandal. They assumed that she was Elland's mistress, and a king sleeping with his personal assassin made for good gossip. Others were interested in the politics. They wondered how much influence Vin had over Elland, and whether they could use her to get the king's ear. Still, others were curious about the growing legends. They wondered if a girl like Vin could really have slain the Lord Ruler. Vin passed the assemblyman and found her seat next to Ham, who, despite the formal occasion, still wore a simple vest with no shirt. Sitting next to him in her trousers and shirt, Vin didn't feel quite so out of place. Ham smiled, clapping her affectionately on the shoulder. She had to force herself not to jump at the touch. It wasn't that she disliked Ham, quite the opposite, actually. She loved him as she did all of the former members of Kelsier's band. It was just that, well, she had trouble explaining it even to herself. Ham's innocent gesture made her want to squirm. It seemed to her that people shouldn't be so casual in the way that they touched others. She pushed those thoughts away. She had to learn to be like other people. Elland deserved a woman who was normal. He was already there. He nodded to Vin as he noticed her arrival, and she smiled. Then he turned back to speaking quietly with Lord Penrod, one of the noblemen in the assembly.
Elland will be happy. Place is packed.
They're worried. And worried people pay more attention to things like this. Can't say I'm happy. All these people make our job harder.
Vin nodded, scanning the audience. The crowd was a strangely mixed one. A collection of different groups who would never have met together during the days of the Final Empire. A major part were noblemen, of course. Vin frowned, thinking of how often various members of the nobility tried to manipulate Elland, and of the promises he made to them.
What's that look for?
Vin eyed the thug. Expectant eyes twinkled in his firm, rectangular face. Ham had an almost supernatural sense when it came to arguments.
I don't know about this, Ham.
This?
This!
Vin waved her hand at the assembly.
Elland tries so hard to make everyone happy. He gives so much away. His power, his money.
He just wants to see that everyone is treated fairly.
It's more than that, Ham. It's like he's determined to make everyone a nobleman.
Would that be such a bad thing?
If everyone is a nobleman, then there's no such thing as a nobleman. Everyone can't be rich, and everyone can't be in charge. That's just not the way things work.
Perhaps. But doesn't Elland have a civic duty to try and make sure justice is served?
Civic duty? I should have known better than to talk to Ham about something like this.
Vin looked down.
I just think he could see that everyone was treated well without having an assembly. All they do is argue and try to take his power away. And he lets them.
Ham let the discussion die, and Vin turned back to her study of the audience. It appeared that a large group of mill workers had arrived first and managed to get the best seats. Early in the assembly's history, perhaps 10 months before, the nobility had sent servants to reserve seats for them, or had bribed people to give up their places. As soon as Elland had discovered this, however, he had forbidden both practices. Other than the noblemen and the mill workers, there was a large number of the new class, Ska Merchants and Craftsmasters, now allowed to set their own prices for their services. They were the true winners in Ellen's economy. Beneath the Lord Ruler's oppressive hand, only the few most extraordinarily skilled Ska had been able to rise to positions of even moderate comfort. Without those restrictions, these same people had quickly proven to have abilities and acumen far above their noble counterparts. They represented a faction in the assembly at least as powerful as that of the nobility. Other Ska peppered the crowd. They looked much the same as they had before Ellen's rise to power. While noblemen generally wore suits, complete with day hats and coats, these Ska wore simple trousers. Some of them were still dirty from their day's labor, their clothing old, worn, and stained with ash. And yet, there was something different about them. It wasn't in their clothing, but their postures. They sat a little straighter, their heads held a little higher, and they had enough free time to attend an assembly meeting. Ellen finally stood to begin the meeting. He had let his attendants dress him this morning, and the result was attire that was almost completely free of dishevelment. His suit fit well, all the buttons were done up, and his vest was of an appropriate dark blue. His hair was even neatly styled, the short brown curls lying flat. Normally, Ellen would begin the meeting by calling on other speakers, assemblymen who would drone on for hours about various topics like taxation rates or city sanitation. However, this day, there were more pressing matters.
Gentlemen, I beg your leave to depart from our usual agenda this afternoon in light of the current state of city affairs.
The group of 24 assemblymen nodded. Ellen was comfortable before crowds, far more comfortable than Vin would ever be. As he unrolled his speech, Vin kept one eye on the crowd, watching for reactions or problems.
The dire nature of our situation should be quite obvious. We face a danger that this city has never known. Invasion and siege from an outside tyrant. We are a new nation, a kingdom founded on principles unknown during the days of the Lord Ruler. Yet, we are already a kingdom of tradition. Freedom for the Ska. Rule by our own choice and of our own design.
The speech went on, but Vin had heard it a dozen times as Ellen practiced it. As he spoke, she found herself eyeing the crowd. She was most worried about the obligator she saw sitting in the back. They showed little reaction to the negative light in which Ellen's remarks cast them. She'd never understood why Ellen allowed the Steel Ministry to continue teaching. It was the last real remnant of the Lord Ruler's power. Most obligators obstinately refused to lend their knowledge of bureaucracy and administration to Ellen's government, and they still regarded Ska with contempt. And yet, Ellen let them remain. He maintained a strict rule that they were not allowed to incite rebellion or violence. However, he also didn't eject them from the city, as Vin had suggested. Actually, if the choice had been solely hers, she probably would have executed them. Eventually, Ellen's speech drew to a close, and Vin turned her attention back to him.
Gentlemen, I make this proposal out of faith, and I make it in the names of those we represent. I ask for time. I propose that we forego all votes regarding the future of the city until a proper royal delegation has been allowed to meet with the army outside and determine what, if any, opportunity there is for negotiations.
He lowered his sheet, looking up, waiting for comments. Phylon, one of the merchants on the assembly, was the first to speak up.
So, you're asking us to give you the power to decide the city's fate?
What? I said nothing of the sort. I'm simply asking for more time to meet with Straff.
He's rejected all of our earlier messages. What makes you think he'll listen now?
We're approaching this wrong. We should be resolving to beg Straff Venture not to attack, not resolving to meet with him and chat. We need to establish quickly that we're willing to work with him. You've all seen that army. He's planning to destroy us.
Please, let us stay on topic.
You say that because you're noble.
One of the other assemblymen, one of the Ska, pointed at the noble Ellen had interrupted.
It's easy for you to talk about working with Straff, since you've got very little to lose.
Very little to lose. I and all my house could be executed for supporting Ellen against his father.
Bah! This is all pointless. We should have hired mercenaries months ago, as I'd suggested.
And where would we have gotten the funds for that?
taxes.
Gentlemen, we have to make a decision. Stay focused, if you please. What of my proposal?
It's pointless. Why should we wait? Let's just invite Straff into the city and be done. He's going to take it anyway.
No, we can't let Straff take it.
Vin sat back as the men began to argue again. The problem was the merchant Phylon, as little as she liked him, had a point. Fighting was looking like a very unattractive option. Straff had such a large army. Would stalling really do that much good?
Straff is my father. Maybe I could talk to him. Get him to listen. Luthadel was his home for years. Perhaps I can convince him not to attack it.
Wait, wait! What of the food issue? Have you seen what the merchants are charging for grain? Before we worry about that army, we should talk about bringing prices down.
You're always blaming us for your problems.
This is not blaming them for their
Ellen
problems.
Slumped slightly behind the lectern. Vin shook her head, feeling sorry for Ellen as the discussion degenerated. This was what often happened at assembly meetings. It seemed to her that they simply didn't give Ellen the respect he deserved. Perhaps that was his own fault for elevating them to his near equals. Finally, the discussion wound down, and Ellen got out a piece of paper, obviously planning to record the vote on his proposal. He did not look optimistic.
All right. Let's vote. Please remember, giving me time will not play our hand. It will simply give me a chance to try and make my father reconsider his desire to take our city away from us.
Ellen, lad, we all lived here during the Lord Ruler's reign. We all know what kind of man your father is. If he wants this city, he is going to take it. All we can decide then is how to best give up. Perhaps we can find a way for the people to retain some freedom under his rule.
The group sat quietly, and for the first time nobody brought up a new squabble. A few of them turned toward Lord Penrod, who sat with a calm, in-control expression. Vin knew little of the man. He was one of the more powerful noblemen who had remained in the city after the collapse, and he was politically conservative. However, she had never heard him speak derogatively of the Ska, which was probably why he was so popular with the people.
I speak bluntly, for it is the truth. We are not in a position to bargain.
I agree with Penrod. If Ellen wants to meet with Straff Venture, then I guess that's his right. As I understand it, kingship grants him authority to negotiate with foreign monarchs. However, we don't have to promise not to give Straff the city.
Master Phylon, I think you misjudged my intent. I said that giving up the city was inevitable, but that we should try to gain as much from it as possible. That means at least meeting with Straff to assess his disposition. Voting to give him the city now would be to play our hand too soon.
Ellen looked up, looking hopeful for the first time since the discussion had first degenerated.
So, you support my proposal?
It is an awkward way to achieve the pause I think necessary, but seeing as how the army is already here, then I doubt we have time for anything else. So, yes, Your Majesty, I support your proposal.
Several other members of the assembly nodded as Penrod spoke, as if giving the proposal consideration for the first time.
That Penrod has too much power.
Vin's eyes narrowed as she regarded the elderly statesman.
They listen to him more than they do Ellen.
Should we vote then?
And they did. Ellen recorded votes as they moved down the line of assemblymen. The 8 noblemen, 7 plus Ellen, voted for the proposal, giving Penrod's opinion a great deal of weight. The 8 Ska were mostly for it, and the merchants mostly against it. In the end, however, Ellen got the 2/3 vote he needed.
Proposal accepted. The assembly divests itself of the right to surrender the city until after the king has met with Straff Venture in official parley.
Vin sat back in her seat, trying to decide what she thought of the vote. It was good that Ellen had gotten his way, but the manner in which he'd achieved it bothered her. Ellen finally relinquished the lectern, sitting and letting a disgruntled Phylon take the lead. The merchant read a proposal calling for a vote to turn control of city food stockpiles over to the merchants. However, this time, Ellen himself led the dissent, and the arguing began again. Vin watched with interest. Did Ellen even realize how much like the others he acted while he was arguing against their proposals? Ellen and a few of the Ska assemblymen managed to filibuster long enough that the lunch break arrived with no vote cast. The people in the audience stood, stretching, and Ham turned toward Vin.
Good meeting, huh?
Vin just shrugged.
We really have to do something about your ambivalence towards civic duty, kid.
I already overthrew one government. I figure that takes care of my civic duty for a while.
Ham smiled, though he kept a wary eye on the crowd, as did Vin. Now, with everyone moving about, would be the perfect time for an attempt on Ellen's life. One person in particular caught her attention, and she frowned.
Be back in a few seconds.
You did the right thing, Lord Penrod.
Ellen stood beside the older nobleman.
We need more time. You know what my father will do to this city if he takes it.
I didn't do this for you, son. I did it because I wanted to make certain that fool Phylon didn't hand the city over before the nobility extracted promises from your father about our rights to title.
Now, see, there has to be another way. The survivor would never have given this city away without a fight.
Penrod frowned, and Elland paused, quietly cursing himself. The old lord was a traditionalist. Quoting the survivor at him would have little positive effect. Many of the noblemen felt threatened by Kelsier's influence with the Ska.
Just think about it.
Elland glanced to the side as Vin approached. She waved him away from the assemblyman seats, and he excused himself. He crossed the stage, joining her.
What is it?
Woman at the back. Tall one. In the blue.
The woman in question wasn't hard to find. She wore a bright blue blouse and colorful red skirt. She was middle-aged, of lean build, and had her waist-length hair pulled back in a braid. She waited patiently as people moved about the room.
What about her?
Terrace.
You're sure?
Those colors? That much jewelry? She's a terrace woman, for sure.
So?
So, I've never met her. And she was watching you just now.
People watch me, Vin. I am the king, after all. Besides, why should you have met her?
All of the other terrace people have come to meet me right after they enter the city. I killed the Lord Ruler. They see me as the one that freed their homeland, but I don't recognize her. She hasn't ever come to thank me.
Elland rolled his eyes, grabbing Vin by the shoulders and turning her away from the woman.
Vin, I feel it's my gentlemanly duty to tell you something.
What?
You're gorgeous.
What does that have to do with anything?
Absolutely nothing. I'm just trying to distract you.
Slowly, Vin relaxed, smiling slightly.
I don't know if anyone's ever told you this, Vin, but you can be a bit paranoid at times.
Oh?
I know it's hard to believe, but it's true. Now, I happen to find it rather charming, but do you honestly think that a terrace woman would try to kill me?
Probably not, but old habits.
Ellen smiled. Then he glanced back at the assemblymen, most of whom were speaking quietly in groups. They didn't mix. Noblemen spoke with noblemen, merchants with merchants, ska workers with other ska workers. They seemed so fragmented, so obstinate. The simplest proposals sometimes met with arguments that could take hours.
They need to give me more time.
Yet even as he thought, he realized the problem. More time for what? Penrod and Phylon had accurately attacked his proposal. The truth was, the entire city was in over its head. Nobody really knew what to do about a superior invading force, least of all, Elland. He just knew that they couldn't give up. Not yet. There had to be a way to fight. Vin was still looking to the side, out over the audience. Elland followed her gaze.
Still watching that terrace woman?
Something else. Something odd. Is that one of Clubs' messengers?
Ellen paused, turning. Indeed, several soldiers were working their way through the crowd approaching the stage. At the back of the room, people had begun shuffling and some were already moving quickly out of the chamber. Ellen felt Vin stiffen in anxiety and fear stabbed him.
We're too late. The army has attacked.
One of the soldiers finally reached the stage and Ellen rushed over.
What? Has Straff attacked?
No, my lord.
What then?
My lord, it's a second army. It just arrived outside the city.